Schools Committee to order. Today, we have, we're going to take up House Bill 297. With us, we have Representative Harris, Representative Guttenberg, Kara Coghill, Representative Fairclough, Representative Johnson, and Representative Petula. And I think we'll have the majority leader here in a minute. And before us, we'll have Representative Newman. And before he comes before us, we have a version T that I would like to have introduced. So, Representative Fairclough, would you make the motion to adopt this CS, and then we'll go from there.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the CS for HB 297, Working Draft 25-LS0357-N.
No, T.
T. Oh, I've got N in front of me. T. Now I've got T in front of me. Thank you, sir.
It's got to be the T version dated 31708.
T. 31908.
31917.
T. 1.
Oh, you're looking at the amendment there.
See, you asked the wrong person, Mr. Chairman. It's a highly scaled
process here.
Can we just strike that from the record, and we'll run back about 30 seconds and take the red out of my face. Mr. Chairman, move to adopt CS for HB 297, Working Draft 25-LS0357-T, dated 31708.
Thank you. And without objection, we'll have that before us. And then what I'll do is I'll have Representative Newman explain the T version, what has been changed, and any other explanation. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mark Newman, District 15. Mr. Chair, in an effort to try and address some of the concerns that were brought forth by the committee, and realizing that we're down to just a few more weeks left in the legislative session, we decided to concentrate our focus onto the main issues that the Board of Veterinary Medicine wanted to have, and that was allowing fourth-year veterinary medical students to be able to come into a doctor of veterinary medicine and practice. And by fourth year, I mean students take 4 years of college, and then they have another 4 years of professional practices. And in their fourth year professional practices to become a vet, this bill allows them, through changes because our statutes haven't been updated since 1998, to legally do that in the state of Alaska, to allow the State Board of Veterinary Medicine to license those or to give those students a permit, with the idea that hopefully some of those will want to stay in Alaska, because we're down to, I believe, around only a couple of hundred vets and 70 techs in the state. We're going backwards on this one, and hopefully maybe even encourage some students who are going to schools outside of Alaska to come up into Alaska. We've got some fine medical facilities in the state for veterinary hospitals, and this allows those students to do that. We pretty much gutted the rest of the bill, took out the four compensation issues, also removed were sections that had to do with the accreditation of those schools, because there were some questions on that. And again, just realizing the amount of time we have left in our reduced, compressed session that we've got, we decided to go for the one main issue that the State Board of Veterinary Medicine really wants to get after, and that's what we addressed. And I can go through it section by section, specifically if you'd like.
Well, let me just see if we have any questions from the committee members on this particular version. Representative Samuels has joined us. Representative Samuels, we have the version T before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any questions at this point? All right. If you want to go through the, there's four sections, I believe.
Yes, sir. We're down to the four
quickly
sections.
Quickly and as briefly as you can.
Just briefly again, section one addresses the student permits issues that I've discussed. Section 2, duties of the department. This just says the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development has the authority to mail out the license to a student permittee. Section 3 has to do with telemedicine and what they're doing now with that would be Section 4. Section 3 has to do with veterinarians that are already licensed under the federal level, if they're up here with the military, and allows them to practice without getting another Alaska license, because they already are licensed under that. Section 4 again with telemedicine and what they're doing in that, to be able to practice in that without that other doctor having to have a medicine, if it is a licensed veterinarian that they're working with on that. Again, we've condensed it considerably, trying to get just to the main issues to allow that. Be glad to answer any further questions.
Any further discussion? I think that answered most of the questions we had last time, and so I think there was an amendment that was going to be offered, and I'll go ahead and allow that at this point. So, Representative Fertula, you had...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'd like to offer what I guess would be, is it amendment number, did we have amendments last time?
This would be amendment number one to draft, new draft.
Great. Then amendment number one to the new draft.
And I'm going to object.
Great.
Not and even everyone, for discussion.
Does everyone have the amendment? Okay. I guess David doesn't have it.
David, you don't have it?
Nope.
What's the matter with you? Right
it was,
here,
but it was on T. Now we're on T1.
Don't you cooperate with your own numbers? Here you go.
Okay. And if I could, Mr. Chairman, ask Representative Gardner to come forward.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to allow Representative Gardner to explain it, and I'm going to try to keep a close watch on the time, and I'm going to give Representative Newman a time to answer it, and
Great.
Then I think we'll take it up for a vote. I just want to. Keep the process moving, but I want to vet it enough to understand it, but
that's
not
great.
Drag it out.
If I might have an opportunity to say just a few words before Representative Gardner comes up. I looked at this before deciding whether I was going to personally offer it, and thought about it and also talked to not just my staff, who's been talking to my constituents, but also to Dr. Bowser, and I think at the heart of this, here's the problem. We've currently got a regulation in place that I think veterinarians around the state have misunderstood. They feel, some of them, that they're under a duty of confidentiality to their clients not to report even cruelty. So my intent and my hope was not to change what I believe most veterinarians hopefully understand is the practice of the board, which would be that you do report cruelty. But that's the nut of it. I don't think the statute's intended to much change the practice, but I think there sure needs to be the word out there, because I think there is confusion, and unfortunately it seems to possibly have resulted in cases not being reported. So with that, Representative Gardner, if you wouldn't mind, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Representative Berta Gardner from Midtown Anchorage, and this is my staffer, Noah Hansen. I think the amendment addresses a policy call because the Board of Veterinary Medicine has a regulation that says that vets have to maintain the confidentiality with their clients. And what we've heard from some vets is that they think that means they do not have the option. And we're not talking about mandatory. We're simply talking about allowing veterinarians to make the call themselves based on their own consciences and their professional opinions whether or not to report animal cruelty to law enforcement. The amendment itself is pretty complex when on the surface, but really it's kind of conforming language and how the drafters felt we needed to kind of make sure that we've implemented everything. And Noah can go through that when the time comes. But you know, the intention of the amendment is simply to clarify for whether it's the desire of the Board of Veterinary Medicine or not, but simply to clarify that in Alaska, veterinarians can use their own judgment and conscience in deciding when and whether to report animal cruelty. The amendment does not address or change our cruelty statutes, which clearly, and this is of concern to Alaskans across the board, exempts hunting, fishing, dog mushing, all of those things as being cruel activities. The statutes, and I've included a the copy of the statutes with the packet, and they're, you know, really simple. It's just cruelty is failing to meet the basic needs of an animal you're responsible for. Cruelty is intentionally and knowingly causing prolonged pain and suffering, and that's simple. And it's my view that a veterinarian should make the call whether or not to pursue animal cruelty. And there may be, it's not like children where we have mandated reporters, and sometimes they are just, they can't make the judgment call, they have to report it. What we're proposing with this amendment is just to allow them to make the decision themselves. And they may often feel that it's ignorance, that it's not intentional, and that they can do more good for the animals by working with the owner and choose to do that. And that's perfectly fine with me. I just think that they should have the right to, and it should be absolutely abundantly clear. So for the specifics, if it's all right with the chair.
Right. There's a couple questions that come to my mind. And first of all, this is a little unusual because I generally would not allow another bill to be laid over top of another bill, I think. But my guess is we're going to see this on the floor, and so I thought it would be wise to go ahead and vet it out here. So with regard to the cruelty issue, the fear I have is that we'll have activist groups using it as a way to stop people from doing activities that may cause animals physical exertion, like you just said dog mushing, but ski joring or whatever, or using students then to then come into doctor's offices and start putting the doctors under huge pressure for every problem that might come into the door as a complaint. And so I see that as a way for activists to become useful in creating that kind of turmoil. Can you help me with that?
Sure, Mr. Chair, thank you. I would say, first of all, that a veterinarian is focused on relieving animal pain and suffering. I mean, that's their mission. That's why people go into veterinary medicine. Secondary to that, they're running a business. I can't imagine any veterinarian having students or employees on their staff that are undermining their business. But also, anybody who wants to make an issue of hunting or dog mushing or whatever can do so at any time. It has, in my view, I don't see how allowing a vet to file cruelty charges if they feel compelled to do so enhances or impedes that. You know, our statutes are really clear that dog mushing is not cruelty to animals. Not feeding your dog, or, you know, not taking care of a dog that's obviously suffering and ill.
What I'm interested in. I'm interested in the misuse of the law. And so I think Representative Faircloth had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome. Representative Gardner, could you speak to the issue of why we're not addressing this under regulation when it's the Board of Veterinarians and a regulation that they've adopted versus applying it into statute for a statute change now? It seems simpler to modify a regulation.
Through the chair, Representative Faircloth, there's at least one veterinarian, and I believe more, who say they have tried to address this through the board and have been unsuccessful in their efforts. I don't know from my own knowledge whether that's true or not. My position is, and I think lots of Alaskans will share this view, that the legislature can make a policy call about whether veterinarians can be simply allowed to report it if they see fit under our existing cruelty statutes.
Representative Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that conversation and respect what the chair said in regards to a bill coming in off of another bill. And it feels like the public will not have an opportunity then to comment on this if truly it is a bill that should go through the process versus a change that that does improve the bill. And I think that you're, I think it's totally appropriate with what you're bringing forward. I just think it should go through the process if it's truly something we need to vet, pun intended. I like to point out those puns if I can ever bring a smile. That we vet those out through the process so that we get it just right. I'm a recipient of a statute change in my business life of recent where a change had been made at the last minute that impacted a community, and I am sure the state had no idea how it impacted, but one person coming in at the very end of a process saying, oh, this would make it better, and people thinking it would make it better have voted yes, or changed regulations as to yes, and then now we're fighting for a reg change because they didn't understand the impact. So I appreciate this, and I support that we make that clarification, but I'd like to see it in another process. That said, I'm still going to listen to what you have to say and see if you can convince me otherwise.
Through the chair, Representative Faircloth, I absolutely agree that the committee process is a good place to do this. What we have here is some confusion among veterinarians about whether they're allowed to do it or not. And some say absolutely the client confidentiality does not impede their ability to file complaints. I don't know what the actual fact is. I don't know. What I'm interested in is simply clarifying that for those vets who want to, they can use their conscience as a guide. And I just think it's really hard to argue against allowing people to live by their consciences.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way I read this, we're just adding some nice words in front of the existing language that says that they may file. There's nothing in there that changes anything. It's the way I read it, and it's still a may. It's not a shall. If you want to have some impact, it said shall report. If you don't want to go that far, then this language to me really doesn't address the problem. It just adds some nice words in front of may. So a veterinarian may or may not, and it really doesn't change anything that the regulations may or may not say.
I think what I'll do at this point, Representative Curtula, anything on your part?
Well, yeah, let me say something. First, there is a problem. I'm convinced of it, that people have misunderstood even their right to report, and that while it might be preferable to act in regulation, once in a while you've got to be clear enough in the statute, because obviously the statute's going to trump the regulation should push ever come to shove here. So I apologize for feeling late in the game. I don't think it has been late in the game with this particular piece of legislation. I do think we'll probably see it on the floor. But I think to clear up the confusion, it's a good idea to put it in the statute. And I guess especially if we aren't hopefully changing the practice, then for all the vets out there, it'll be absolutely clear. And for those who might have been confused, who I think that's happened, then it, again, is abundantly clear. So that's why. Thank you.
There's one deletion here that I have a question about on page 2, starting in lines 27, going through the top of page 3, and that is the deletion of peace officer means. And can you give me the rationale for actually deleting that out of statute Title 3?
To the chair. What it is, it just moves where that person, where that section is.
And the definition
then is on page 3, page 8, line 8. It's just moving it for the statute. Right. I don't know how the drafters do these things. That's their magic, not mine.
Okay. It was exactly the same move then. Okay. And then I guess the 110C and 110E fall under the same operative then, okay.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Representative Gunberg?
We have two legal opinions here, both from counsel, one from the AG and one from Mr. Bullard. And they address statute. And apparently the problem is what you're talking about is the regs. Is there an opinion in the conflict between the two? Because that's really the nuts and bolts of what we're dealing with, is one says one, the regs say one thing, and the statutes say something else. Has there been an analysis of if there's a conflict between those two? Because that seems to be really the issue.
And what I might add to that question, and for Representative Gardner, have you contacted our Regulatory Review Committee on that?
No, I have not, Mr. Chair.
And what is the disparity between the law and the regs?
I haven't seen the legal opinions that Representative Guttenberg's.
No, I don't know that he knows of one either. But no, the disparity between the regs and the law, the statutory law. Representative Curtula?
If I might, just from briefly looking at it, I think what the concern would be is that the regulations actually don't seem to cover it, if I'm reading it right. It's just that they cover the confidential relationship. So while the statute should rule, because there's nothing in the veterinarian's regulations, I think that's what's caused the confusion. in my opinion, I think the opinions are right, the statute rules, but because the regulation's silent on it, it's, I think, created some confusion.
And I'm personally not convinced that this amendment does not create a continuing of confusion. So, and because I think now your board's going to have another set of statutes that they're going to have to deal with, having not been able to answer that, and now they're going to have to come up with school student permittees with regard to this and other permitted practices by veterinaries with regard to reporting. So, and obviously I have a question about it, but I haven't been able to answer it by just reading it. So, so we do have Mr. Newman here, so why don't we have the sponsor of the bill, whose bill you're trying to amend, come up and speak to this particular amendment. Would you mind?
Oh, that'd be fine. And Mr. Chair, if I might add, Representative Faircloth had a question about going through the process. This was an issue I wasn't aware of until the bill left our committee, and I did work with the committee chair, and initially he was going to, because I filed a bill, I had a bill drafted to do it independently, and the chair said that he would, anyhow, we kind of went back and forth about how best to do it. So I said, we'll try this route.
And just for what it's worth, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go ahead and have the discussion here rather than on the floor, where it kind of got more into at eases. So
thank you.
Brief, though.
I was thinking about calling an at ease.
What's the definition of that?
Although,
brief.
Just be aware. I want to be out
You're
here.
You're going to have an at ease.
Brief rules committee.
Ready for the question, Mr. Chair?
Yeah. We'll go through, and Representative Newman, and we'll just move it along.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First up, since this concern has been brought up, it is now scheduled in front of the Board of Veterinary Examiners to be on their May 16th, 2008 meeting. So, again, this is a regulation issue that should be vetted in a public process and probably should have oversight by veterinarians and maybe not legislators, I think, is a good place to do this because they're ones who write these regulations. So this is scheduled in front of a meeting to have public comment for people on both sides of the issue to come discuss it. Statutes clearly state the objectives of the profession, that they're to render veterinary services to the society, to assist in conserving livestock resources and the suffering of animals. It does say in regulation under unethical conduct of a veterinary technician, 3 precludes a vet tech from reporting. And these are veterinary technicians also that are included in this, and temporary permit holders, people who may not have the ability to identify what is abuse. An animal may be suffering from a disease or some other medical problem that maybe is not an abuse situation. And because this would also allow temporary permit holders that are coming to the state, you'd mentioned the opportunity, I think, for activists to become involved in this issue. And my concern particularly has to do with folks like PETA or Humane Society of the United States who come up here to the Iditarod, work on the Iditarod with temporary permits at times. And, you know, what we may think of abuse or see as abuse is one thing, but when you go out into rural Alaska, and many of you have been out there, and how animals or a dog or a cat, any animal is treated out there, could be a whole different story about what we consider abuse. And this is why it's good to have this under regulations where our State Board of Veterinary Medicine hears from all people from the state on this, because that, quite frankly, the chance for abuse on that is quite great, I think. And I did talk to some members of the Iditarod over this amendment, and that was exactly their concerns.
I think it told us at least that the dog mushing world is not is exempted from this particular issue. Did you get a chance to read the amendment before we came to committee?
Yes, sir.
Welcome up.
And you're right. The dog mushing is exempt, but that doesn't mean there isn't a lot of people in rural Alaska who own dogs that aren't professional dog mushers. Mr. Chair, we do have Dr. Bowser, who is a member of the Alaska State Board of Veterinary Medicine here. We'll be glad to talk about any of the statutes or regulations or answer questions that you have.
Well, I think since you brought up that they're going to have a May 16th meeting, maybe it'd be a good idea to, number one, verify that and see what the exact issue is going to be up for. So, Dr. Bowser, if you don't mind coming up, I'd appreciate that.
Yes. And, Dr. Timothy Bowser, Soldotna, Alaska, and I've been a member of the Board of Veterinary Examiners the last 5 years. From my memory, this issue has not been brought before the board in my 5 years tenure. I have not missed a meeting. Each meeting, we have public comment time for, and we meet in Juneau, we meet in Fairbanks, we meet in Anchorage, and publicize the meeting, and certainly would be interested if there are things such as this. And I think this is something that should be addressed by the board. We have not been made aware of this issue until now. We do have it scheduled for the May 16th meeting. I'd like to just answer from two perspectives. As a private veterinarian, I would interpret the regulation that tells me to assist in relieving animal suffering, that a veterinarian should further these objectives. I would report animal abuse myself, and I'm not confused by that, but I can understand and I'm sensitive to the issue and the concern about the it being confusing, and I think that's something that should be addressed in regulation. But as far as my understanding, I interpret it as I should report abuse now. As a board member, the reason I serve in the board, the reason I flew down here from my work day yesterday, and I'll be back at work tomorrow, is I feel it's important that veterinarians are involved in the process. The Board of Veterinary Examiners, we give our time. I've spent the last 5 years, among other things, I've worked on the items in this bill. Each one of these things are things that have come to the board, and that's why speaking of the main bill, that we are, these are things that have come to the board as concerns. But as for this amendment, I really do believe that the Board of Veterinary Medicine is the one that's charged we are the one that's charged with regulation, and I think this is something that should be addressed by regulation, and we are perfectly willing to. I think we need to do that from what has been brought, because I am against, we would not hold anyone accountable for if a veterinarian brought forth animal abuse, they would not be subjected to discipline by the board. There's no way. We'd be supportive of that, and we would encourage that. And if that is not clear, then we need to address that. But I think the place to do that is in regulation.
Let me ask you this question then. The Section 7 of this particular amendment talks about directing to establish and maintain a confidential relationship. Have you had a chance to ponder that at all?
I really have not. This is something that I saw at 4 o'clock today. I've been spending the day, here trying to answer questions as best I could, and so I have not had opportunity to review it thoroughly.
Let me ask you this then. Do you now consider your relationship with the owner, master of an animal, to be confidential in this regard? As far as cruelty, would you feel compelled not to report? What is the confidentiality that you understand now under your present scheme?
I believe that there is a confidential relationship, and so I would not share medical information with anyone that wanted to know something about a client's animal, and it's not our business to talk about cases that come our way. I think an abuse situation is different. It's something that I am charged in regulation to address that, and I would report abuse. I think that's supported, although I understand that there is question about that has been brought to my attention.
Let me ask you this, somebody who sat on the board for a while, Have you come to a place where you've had to discipline any veterinarian for harboring abused animals?
No.
Disciplinary action is very rare, but has there been disciplinary action in your tenure? Disciplinary action on
veterinarians? Yes, there has been disciplinary action, but not regarding animal abuse. Usually, if I were to encounter animal abuse in my practice, I would notify the state troopers, the animal control agency. There are ways for me, and that is for, because usually the abuse would not be a veterinarian doing that abuse. It'd be someone else, and so that's how I would report it, and I have done that.
Any questions?
It looks to me like you have a regulation on unethical conduct of a veterinary technician, and this might even be, I don't know, but maybe the source of some confusion, that lists it specifically that it's unethical and grounds for discipline for them to compromise the confidentiality of a veterinarian client relationship. But the Attorney General's letter clearly says that they also can file a report of animal abuse. I mean, is there any confusion about that, that people who are veterinary technicians or, are working underneath you, they also have a direct right to file?
Right.
And that they don't have to go through anyone to be able to do that?
My understanding is based on the law as it is now. Okay. And when I read this law, my understanding is that my technician should not report. They should talk to me to report. Okay, because and if that needs to be addressed, then I think it needs to be addressed in regulation. But the way I read the law right now, if my technician noted something, and we have a relationship that they would let me know, and I would be in support of that. But as a veterinarian, I am one that is able to judge that situation, and I'm basically obligated to report. But that would be, that is by the law the way it is now. That is my understanding.
Representative Couture?
Well, and I think this is the heart of the problem, because that's not how I read it, and it's not how I read the AG's letter. The letter clearly says that person has a right to report. So maybe this is where the heart of it is, and maybe that's where we need to unwind it. But I don't think the amendment does any harm. I think it makes it crystal clear. I do think there's a problem, because legally I don't think that's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
But thank you.
And with all respect to the maker of the amendment, I'm still going to disagree, because there's substantive things in here that I don't know how they work, and especially reference to statutes that at this point I have not had a chance to study. And I think one of the reasons I wanted to have this debate was because for those sitting on that board, I want to light a little fire under the issue, too, because I think it's an important issue, that if there is a misunderstanding, that somehow that gets squared away. Representative Gunberg?
Thank you. We've heard that this issue is going to be on the before the board in May. What does that mean, before the board? Is there a resolution? Is there a motion? Is no. there a...
The reason, and I appreciate the fact that it needs to be on the agenda, and that's exactly what has happened. I became aware of this within the last few days. And as I shared previously, this is not something that has come before the board in the past, and so it has been placed as an agenda item. When we meet in Juneau on May 16th at the State Office Building, we will, normally it's 11 o'clock is public comment time, and anyone that wants to come testify, come sign in, and they are welcome to be involved in the process. And so there's that opportunity. And as the board members, we will take this up as an agenda item and talk about exactly what has been brought to our attention. And usually what happens, if we see something that is a problem, then we start the regulatory process where we find out what we think needs to be done, get legal opinions, and that takes a while, but that is the way I would envision it to happen. And from what I have learned, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Okay. We've had the discussion. Any further discussion? Okay, I'm going to call for a question on the amendment. Thank you, Doctor. And what I would ask you to do is, if you would get me the spelling of your name on a card, maybe from Representative Newman, so that I can get it to the clerk. Thank you very much. So is there, I'm going to maintain my objection to the amendment. And so we'll just call the roll.
Representative Harris?
No.
Representative Fairclough?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Samuels?
No.
Representative Fertula?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Chair Coghill?
No.
2-5.
And just because the amendment didn't go in doesn't mean that this is not a real lively discussion and a needed one to have. And so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For all bringing it up, because I think it needs to get this kind of input. And so that brings the bill before us. Is there any further discussion on the bill?
Chairman, I move House Bill 297 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there any objection to moving the bill?
Slow.
All right. Without objection, House Bill 297 moves from committee. Thank you, everybody, for your attention. Don't forget to sign it. We are adjourned.
The signing, sir.